Welcome to Highly Sensitive, Happily Married, the podcast that teaches you to not only have an easier marriage as a sensitive woman, but to have one that feels more amazing by the day, where you'll hear relatable stories, love advice that works, and coaching on how to have a marriage where feeling upset and disconnected is a thing of the past, and where instead a sense of loving connection and even fun and lightness is the norm. I'm Hannah Brooks, highly sensitive person, love expert, and marriage coach, and I'm so happy to be on this journey with you. Hello and welcome, my friends. Today we are going to talk about how to go from you moving the relationship forward on your own to moving the relationship forward together as a couple. Because that can be one of the misconceptions of this work that I guide people to do is like, oh, it just has to be me. Why does it have to just be me? So I want to help clarify that, because it's not that your partner doesn't do anything. It's just that you go first. You start the work on your own, but you don't have to do all of it on your own. As you do that work on your side of the court in your relationship, your partner gets on board and collaborates with you to do it by your side. You'll have heard this reflected in the recent episode with my client, Gina. And today we have another special guest who I'm so happy to have here today, who's going to talk about her experience with doing this work, being my client, and how that totally changed her marriage and her life. And you're going to really hear how it got her husband on board so that they're now both moving forward much more positively, much more happily as a couple. And you're going to get some serious wisdom about how to do that yourself in today's episode with my client, Kathy. It's such an honor to have you here, truly, Kathy. So thank you so much for being here and welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Hannah. I really appreciate and feel very honored to be a part of your show. Thank you so much.
It's a true pleasure. So let's just start off telling everyone a little bit about, you know, like your background. Like, what were things like for you in your marriage before you started working with me in Treasured?
Well, it might possibly help to get some perspective. The fact that we had been married at that time about 30, 32 years. And of course, during the first probably 25 years between our careers and our businesses and our children, life was just always hectic. So it was probably hard to even say what our relationship was like, because I think at times we rarely saw each other. We were both so busy. Yeah. So it was like a constant, you know, merry-go-round, you know, trying to coordinate our lives and businesses and kids. I really noticed the change when our last child left, you know, and we became the empty nesters. And then we kind of were forced to spend more time together just because we didn't have all those other distractions or in the marriage. So I think that's when it became more noticeable that we were having some difficulties with spending time together with just ourselves. The longer we spent together, I think the more difficult it became to interact well and to find that level of connection and intimacy that we had before kids and before, you know, the careers ramped up and all those chaotic. And like
merry-go-round.
Merry-go-round.
What did that feel like for you when you realized that, when you were kind of going through that post-merry-go-round?
It was really difficult, because then you have to step back and say, wow, this may not be what I imagined it when we first got married. I guess I imagined the part where we're winding down our careers and our children are growing up and we're getting close to retirement. I imagine that to be the best times of our marriage, you know, not like the worst, which it was turning into. It was argument after argument. It was disagreement. It was just, you know, not the intimate, loving relationship that we started with and hoped we continue and grow in retirement age,
yeah.
or our time together, you know, later in life. And I just, it was so disappointing and sad and hurtful to lose that. And I didn't know how to get back to it. I just didn't.
Yeah, that sounds really hard. And I remember you wrote in your original join form, I call it the join form, it's the application kind of that you filled out when you were requesting to join Treasured. And I specifically remember that you were talking about how you tried applying the things that I've given freely, like on the podcast and in my emails and such, but things just hadn't changed from doing that. And so you knew you wanted more direct help. So that's one of the reasons you chose to join me in Treasured. But then what I think is so fun, and I'd love to hear a little bit about this, is within just the first week or two of our work together in the group, things started to really change. So tell us a little bit about that. What happened there?
Yeah. And the podcasts were fabulous. And I still listen to them routinely.
Yeah.
But I think that what changed is that when I, and the podcast seemed to put little band-aids on things, you know, for a day or two. And then it didn't seem to make a more permanent impact, I guess. And of course, you can't reference back to every podcast every day to keep reminding yourself of all the principles.
That would be the whole day.
Yeah, exactly. All the time. So then you forget about maybe some of the earlier groundwork and, or, you know, important points in, that were made in some of the podcasts. And I think joining Treasures, what it did is it built up the groundwork for me so that I didn't forget the groundwork and I didn't have to keep referencing back. It was a naturally progressive groundwork that basically started with focusing on myself and who I am and who I wanted to bring to this relationship before I focused on the relationship itself.
Mm.
And I think to me, that was part of the key,
mm.
is changing my own approach and my own thoughts and what I really wanted out of this relationship and you helping us to figure out how to do that within ourselves before we did it in the relationship. Because to me, that's really what had the impact.
Yes, totally. And it was pretty wonderful to see how quickly when you joined and we started working together, things did shift, right? It was so fun for me
yes.
to hear that. And I'm sure it was even more wonderful for you.
Well, and I honestly think going in the heat of the moment when you're in that relationship that's not going well, I think a lot of us tend to think it's all about the partner and what they're not doing or you know, they are doing or could or should or would.
Yes.
And I think what happened after I joined is it made me realize they are who they are. You know, it's not going to change with us continuing to redirect or, you know, tell them what they should be or shouldn't be doing. I think it really comes from within our approach to who we are and how we want to present in the relationship. And I think that will subtly shift who they want to become and who they want to be in that relationship. And I think it was just a real eye-opener for me after the first couple sessions that, wow, okay, this is not what I was really expecting or how I thought I should approach it or how it should be approached. And it really is absolutely the best approach that I've seen in all the years in counseling. I believe we've been through lots of other marriage counseling sessions with other professionals and none of it ever changed.
Yeah.
The approach. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I love what you're saying. It's so powerful and it's just so true. It's like, we can't directly change or get our partner to change or be different. And so we got to start with where we actually have power or control, we could call it, which is within ourselves and how we relate to our partner. And so I'm so curious, like within those first couple weeks, you really took that on, I hear, right? You really got that. And then I remember hearing you say he's reacting differently to you.
Yes.
And so what was it? Just like, is there one little nugget that you did differently there in terms of how you related to him that quickly shifted how he was relating to you?
After focusing on myself, it was kind of my approach with how I spoke to him and how I realized that he needed a different approach than what I was taking in order to respond the way that I would have liked to hear, I guess, more. And I guess it was really how I was approaching him that changed the way I thought. And it goes a lot deeper, and I'll be honest, because Hannah knows this about me and my spouse, because I brought this up multiple times in our discussion sessions, is that he subsequently has been diagnosed with the disorder ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And it was his responses, his emotional dysregulation to how I approached him that escalated our discussions and arguments and, dissatisfaction. And I had to learn, both through how Hannah taught me, as well as some other courses I enrolled in based on her encouragement with ADHD and relationships, that I learned to approach him differently and our relationship differently. That made a tremendous difference. So.
Yeah, I love that. And I think one of the things to pull out from this is your husband was determined to have ADHD, and meaning he has some brain differences than some other people, right? And
Yes,
what I think I want to make sure listeners understand is everyone has a unique brain, right? So, of course, those are very specific challenges. But there are things that we just don't know that are going on in our partner's brain, whether or not that's diagnosable or not, right? So I love, like, just like if all of us could take that from this, is like if how we're approaching our partner is eliciting strong reactions or more difficulties between you, right? Then changing how we are approaching him, whether or not we know what's going on exactly inside of his brain, is important, right? Because
Yes,
it will
absolutely.
shift things between you.
Yes, and I think that's where it all started. It was focusing myself, and then my approach, and then that really just rolled into finding out that, well, then his responses maybe were sometimes appropriate, not appropriate, and then we kind of rolled into getting him involved in treatment for his ADHD. So then the combination of my changing my approaches, him then realizing there's a problem and getting him treated, just changed the entire relationship. So,
Yes.
yeah.
So
So,
cool. And I'm sure listeners are like, "Whoa, so how did you get him, quote unquote, how did you get him on board sort of doing his own work how did you manage that?" So,
well,
yeah, how did that come up?
that was all through you, because without you helping to guide me in terms of controlling myself and my approach and kind of being rational with him, because there is a significant emotional dysregulation with ADHD people. And if you give like for like and you bounce back with your own emotional dysregulation, it just escalates the problem. It never comes to resolution. So in order to resolve it, I had to maintain emotional regulation and be, a little more proactive in my approach, and find specifically a group, and a counselor, a coach, I should say, who dealt with ADHD. So it was a little more of me delving into what could be the problem on that end, and trying to help kind of jumpstart his involvement in it.
What do you think allowed him to be open to it? That's something that I'm intrigued about, because it wasn't like at first he was like, "Hey, I really want to go get help," right?
Right, absolutely not. Refused to admit he even could consider having, ADHD. But I think it was me pulling back and not pointing out all the flaws, just giving, living. I think that the term I love is leaning into love. So my goal was to lean into loving him and doing everything I could to really support his end of the journey after you gave me the emotional support for my end of the journey and showing I should support myself emotionally, then I could support him. And leaning into love and being as kind and gentle and loving as I could to say, hey, this is going to help our relationship, not just you. It's really going to move us forward as a couple. And I really want that love. And just leaning into it and letting him know I wanted to get back to the love in our relationship. And then I felt I was working on my end of it and then encouraging him, hey, if you could even humor me to attempt to work on your end of it, you know, that saying, let's both lean in as much as we can into loving each other. And maybe this is one way you can kind of help do that.
Yes. I love that. It's so powerful. And avid listeners of the podcast or readers of my emails will remember that I kind of think about, you've articulated it so well, as like these changes happening in stages, right? We can't just like start with trying to invite our partner to change. It usually doesn't work. Our work is almost always going to be first working on ourselves. And like you said, like the emotional regulation, like guiding our own emotions so that we can come from a place of genuine love and kindness. And then that's oftentimes when our partner is more like is able and willing to start working on his side of things as well.
Absolutely. I think for me at least, it all started with making that commitment to my marriage. So, because I was at the point of saying, it's not working. I'm telling you, I was looking for an apartment for myself and a job in another state. And I was going through all kinds of things trying to say, how can I make the rest of my life work without this man? Because I can't live with him.
Yes.
And then I really sat back and said, look, I've devoted 30 some years to this. I know I love him. I married him. I always have. How do I make this work? I've tried everything. I've tried marriage counselors. I've tried, you know, personal counseling. I can't get this to work.
Yes.
But I knew how powerful your podcasts were, and the little bit that I could do with them did help for short periods of time. When I heard about your treasured program, I said, okay, I have to do this, because to me, this is my last ditch effort. I've tried everything else. I don't know what else to do. I'm seriously making plans to separate at this point.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to do that. I really want to make the marriage work. And that's how it unfolded.
Yeah. And you did. It's so amazing. So I would love to hear a little bit about how things are. I mean, you've already shared some, but just a little bit more in general, like how are things these days with you and your husband?
They're still not perfect. I'm not going to paint that picture because that's, I
know. Nope, they're not perfect.
Is a perfect marriage, personally.
Exactly.
I don't think
there's such a thing.
No, that'd be kind of Pollyannish, I think, to think along those terms. I don't know anyone whose marriage is perfect. There's ups and downs in everyone's, but to me, it's the point where you can say, I want to lean into love. I love this person. I really do want to do everything I can to maintain this relationship. And you notice that they're doing the same and they are leaning into love more. And to me, I think that's where we're at. And not to say we don't continue to have disagreements or arguments, that would be once again silly to even think. Nobody ever argues in a relationship or has a disagreement, but it's the fact that we now know we love each other and we are willing to make those sacrifices and steps to do the most we can for the other person, not just nitpick everything about them or, you know, every move they make or thought they have or action that's taken in on either side. So I think that to me is the most significant change, and it just feels good. I'm no longer thinking about a different job or moving. You know, it's nice to now feel that, okay, we're secure again and we're there for our family and each other. And I'm enjoying that more. I'm finally enjoying looking forward to soon we're going to retire. And it's like, okay, well, now I'm looking forward to making plans for that instead of making plans to find an apartment somewhere.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love that. I love that so much. One of the things that also stands out, speaking of retirement, from your story is there was some long-held resentment from your end. in the past. And we did a lot of work on that. It actually wasn't a stretched out long period of work, but you did some concentrated work on that. And one of the things that I thought was so beautiful was how, as you worked with that, some of what you realized is how, so you correct me where I'm wrong, but I'm just going to kind of summarize what
Oh,
I'm
yeah, no,
hearing.
so far, all correct.
Okay, good. part of what had been going on there is you had felt like you'd made some choices earlier on, many years ago, that weren't exactly what you wanted, but that were more what he wanted. And you hadn't really had a chance to do what you wanted. One of them things being living in the mountains. And I think it was feeling like you weren't able to have that. And of course, when we're not feeling like we're able to have the thing we really want, and we feel like it's our partner who's preventing us, it's of course resentment is going to come up. That's just inevitable. But one of the things we did together was look at you starting to actually decide that, well, I'm going to honor what I want, right? Instead of just waiting for him to like invite you to do that, or right?
Right, exactly. Yes,
Do you want to
you're
share a little
absolutely.
bit about that?
So, I mean, of course, we all make changes that sometimes we're glad we did, and sometimes we regret doing. I mean, that's part of life. But there were some long-standing changes where, and it was regarding where we were going to live. And initially, it was driven by where our, jobs took us. And they took us to a place that I wasn't thrilled with living, but that he liked. And it was where we had started to raise the children. And, they went through the school system. So I kind of put up with it because I knew it was supposedly temporary. Once the kids were out of school, we were going to move to a place we both liked. But then that turned into, no, now I have a business here. No, now I can't leave for this reason. Now my mother's here now. So it ended up being, well, on his end that he didn't want to leave. And I was starting to feel a lot more resentment because I felt like there was a promise that we were supposed to leave once the kids were raised. But we ended up, once we went through the program and went through, we ended up actually making a compromise that we got a little place in the mountains, which is where I wanted to be. And we'll spend more and more time there as we retire. So then, and he was more willing to go through that as I was more willing to show love and a commitment that I wanted to be through this, but these were my needs, and I was able to vocalize those needs and the importance of those needs, which I don't know that I ever vocalized in the past, other than just throwing it out as blame and regret that you said we'd do this and you said we'd move, blah, blah, blah. Versus it became more of a, I need this to be a loving person. I need this to be a whole person. I need this to be who I am. And it is for me. That's just a need I have to be out in the mountains, in the forest. It's just something that's intrinsically a part of me as an HSP.
Totally.
And once we were able to discuss that, and that was more of a need than a want. It was more of something intrinsic to me to being a whole person and being a happy person. I think it became more apparent to him that it wasn't just something I complained about or, regretted. It was something that I really did need, and he saw the value in at some point.
Yes, I love that. And I remember that some of the coaching we did around that was thinking about how not only is it so important to honor what you want and need, right? Because that's just so important. And it's so easy as HSPs to not do that, right? And to
Absolutely.
honor what other people need,
Yes,
specifically their partners
yes.
instead of ourselves. And of course, that's such a breeding ground for resentment. But also that when you start taking care of yourself like that, when you start honoring yourself like that, it's actually taking care of the relationship as well, right? Because obviously, if you're not happy and there's a lot of resentment, your
Yes.
relationship together cannot be good,
Yes,
right?
you are absolutely, you hit the nail on the head. And I think that's where the first part of your course helped me so much to realize that my needs weren't getting met in a relationship and that I wasn't happy and that I needed to change that in myself before I could even think about how it was going to impact the relationship. I needed to find that for myself and really outline what was an absolute for me.
Yes. Yes.
And then how to integrate that into the relationship so that I can still have a loving relationship.
Yes. That's that balance. And it's,
yeah, and making compromises maybe in other areas of our life so that we can have that, scaling down here to be able to have that place in the mountains and making that compromise as a couple.
Yes. Yeah, I love what you're saying. It really is about first learning how to listen to what we want, right? And then being able to start honoring that and meeting those needs and desires for ourselves. And
And
then
then
we can
also
start.
welcoming. Oh, I'm sorry.
No worries. Yeah, I was just saying. And then we can start like advocating for our partner to be on board with it as well.
Absolutely. And then also on the flip part of it, realizing, hey, they also have needs, not just wants
Yes.
necessarily. And also starting to become attuned to those so that you can both reciprocate that part of that love, leaning into that if loving them to be able to accommodate those needs as well.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. So beautiful and so much wisdom there. I'm sure our listeners are learning so much or having lots of ahas. So I love it.
I still catch myself that, of course, one of the terms I'm sure for many of your listeners out there, they know the lizard brain term. And I still catch myself with that every now and then, saying, you have to stop it. Recognizing it and saying, I'm leaning into love. That's always my go-to, that no, I can't just put my, ego first or my pride first. I have to really lean into love and listen to what he's saying he needs, and it's reciprocated that way. It really is. I see a big change where he's helping more and asking what I need. And it's really, and without trying to change him, he's changing himself and his approach, which is amazing.
Yeah, and the phrase that just came to me from everything you're saying is the one that I use a lot as well, which is leading love, right? It's like first, it's like what you were just saying, like first we need to sort of lead ourselves out of living from our lizard brain, which is just natural to like live from there without knowing how not to, right? So we start leading ourselves out of that, and then ultimately we end up leading the relationship itself into more love, and then our partner starts leading as well, so you're both working together.
Yes, and it is an amazing change when you see it, because you never thought you would get there after years of various attempts of trying to do that. So,
Totally.
Your program is amazing. I mean I won't lie, it really made an amazing impact.
Thank you. And I'm just so happy that I could help you and others through it. It's such a beautiful honor to bring it to people and to coach people around all of this. Is there anything else that you want to share about what your work was?
I feel the biggest impact came from, for me, a combination of one-on-one coaching with Hannah, as well as the group coaching. And I say that because Hannah could address some of my specific concerns that maybe I wasn't comfortable coming up with in the group session, or wasn't maybe pertinent to a group discussion on one hand. But then with the group discussions, it was nice to hear kind of what other people were experiencing, and that, oh, wow, I'm not isolated in this. Everybody's got this issue or that issue, or, sees this or that, and seeing the various approaches to them. And I found it was, the combination of the two was to me just the right recipe.
Yeah, I always think of that as the best of both worlds, right? Because there are such valuable, amazing things about the group, being in the group like that. But then also there's some valuable, very valuable things, as well as having those private, deeper one-on-one sessions. So
yeah, and I'll say it right here. I am not a group person. I generally, I'm not comfortable in those group settings, and I was kind of dreading the first session. But after, I became involved, I looked forward to them. It was because of the interesting discussions that ensued. So.
Yeah, and how did you, so you looked forward to them. I totally hear you on that about not feeling like a group person. I think that's really normal for a lot of HSPs, partially because the majority of highly sensitive people are also introverts or are a little shy, or, and relationships can feel like they are a private thing, right? So,
Yes.
of course, a group can feel a little awkward, right? Or the idea of a
Yes.
group can feel a little awkward. So, what did you find, like, in terms of your comfort level there, and like the way you ended up feeling after the first session or so, like once you started to get more comfortable?
Oh, it was very comfortable. Once I really, it was session number one that was, of course, the most intimidating for me. But then after that, it became, you kind of got to know a little bit about everyone in the group, and it became less intimidating in general because you then didn't feel like, oh, you were being judged because you had these issues or that issue, or you said this, or whatever the case may be, that people were all pretty open. And in some cases, you thought, okay, well, maybe things aren't as bad for me as some people, so it didn't feel so bad.
Yeah, and that's what I hear so often is like people are nervous at first, which I totally get. I remember my first group coaching session that I participated in, I was totally nervous, but then you just get comfortable and you start to feel supported and you learn so much from other people and what they're going through and start to really feel like you belong and you're not totally abnormal and all these important things.
Realizing everybody is an HSP and they have their quirks about being in a group session, then it kind of dissolves the concerns.
I have one more. You're welcome to share on this or not. I remember you were kind of intrigued and really helped by the idea of boundaries and specifically the protection and containment boundaries.
Yes.
Do you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, so for me, there have been several people in my life that I've, not just my spouse or relationship, but other people in my life that I feel may have crossed over boundaries because I didn't set boundaries, and didn't really value myself first as an HSP, maybe. And that's where I think so much of this work that you did with us initially really helped me develop my own sense of self and my own sense of worth, and developing boundaries both for myself as well as them. And I'm, of course, now I've lost the terms for my own boundaries versus their boundaries, but that's a
That could
broad way to think of it. That helps so much with, once again, not just my relationship with my spouse, but with many other people in my life. And so to me, this program was just a game changer for relationships in general, I'll say, not just an interpersonal spouse relationship, but with my children, family members, friends, that I can now set those boundaries both for them as well as myself, and feel much more comfortable in relationships in general.
And I love that you, because that was kind of what I was hoping to get into, is this part about really valuing yourself and as an HSP and just as who you are, right? And like when we don't have these quote unquote boundaries, oftentimes we feel a lot of judgment from others and we feel hurt by that. We take it personally. And I love how you did that work on what sometimes I call it insourcing your value, right? And starting to
Yes.
really know yourself as a good human being with your differences, right? With the differences that
Yes.
come along with sensitivity.
Yes.
So I'm curious, like, what is it? How is your relationship now with your sensitivity, with being a highly sensitive person?
That won't change. I mean, I still am, of course, I still recognize other emotions in people, and of course, environmental sensitivities, all the standard things, emotional sensitivities. But I can become more objective now and step back and say, well, that's not because of me, or that's not because of what I said. It's them. It's their thought process. It's not me. I can distance myself more from those things.
And I remember before there was, which is so classic, like you are very much like so many highly sensitive people in that, like, and I was this way too. Like when other people would judge us, there would be hurt and a questioning of our own self, like, what's wrong with me? Right? Like something must be wrong with me as a person. Right. And that feels terrible, which I think about that as just like not really valuing yourself or your sensitivity. Right. Because oftentimes the judgments we get from other people are related to being a highly sensitive person, right? Like certain parts or traits about being sensitive. Like for you, I remember part of it was like loving to go be in nature and be on the beach or whatever. And you were getting some judgment from family members for parts of
Absolutely. Yes, but
that.
now it's I can distance myself and say this is what I need. This as to become fully as a person, I need to be in nature. I need to not eat these types of foods or not be around this type of noise. Whatever the highly sensitive triggers are for me, and if they have problems with that, that's their problem. I can now see that it's not my problem.
Yes, I love that
And
so much.
that's because of some of the boundaries that I've had set. These are things I absolutely need, and if you can't accept that, I have to put that boundary there.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Beautiful. So much good wisdom. And what?
And I can give you a funny example of that
Yeah,
recently that
give us
occurred.
an example. Sure. Love to
There
hear.
was a little women's gathering in the neighborhood, and they were serving food. And there's one or two food items I don't eat, but I couldn't tell if it was disguised in the food or not. So I kind of was picking apart some of the food. And one of
Yep.
the ladies looked at me and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I don't eat so and so." And they gave me a, kind of a, "What's wrong with you?" look. And I didn't care. Said, "This is protect me.
Awesome.
I don't want to eat that because I
Yes.
have whatever reaction to it." And I didn't care that she did that.
I
Whereas in the
love it.
past, I'd be embarrassed or I wouldn't do it just because I didn't want those stares, whatever the case may be. And
Yes.
now I know those boundaries. I'm like, well, that's their problem because I need to protect myself.
Yes, I love it. It's such a huge win. And like to be able to do that in those moments, like it makes such a huge difference in our lives, right? Like, because those kinds
Yes.
of things happen left and right in our
Yes.
lives, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it really, I do think that all the interpersonal work that was done at the beginning of this helps. Just, I can be honest, in relationships in general, just across the board, broad spectrum.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. And so on that note, what might you say to a highly sensitive woman who was not so happy in her marriage, who was considering doing this work with me and Treasured, but was maybe hesitating for one reason or another?
Well, probably two things. One, if you want to save your relationship, you have to make that decision first. That's number one. You have to make that decision. You can't decide partway through the program. You can't decide, oh, I'll try and see. You have to be committed to saying, I want this relationship. And then if you want that relationship, number two, you sign up for Treasured with Hannah and you'll get to that. You have to make that decision first, though, that you absolutely, this relationship is the most valuable thing. I absolutely want to do everything I can. And then no matter what the time frame to do it, what the cost, what the effort to put into it, all of that will pale in comparison to being able to get there at the end.
Yes, I love that. And that is such a good point. And we even in the beginning of Treasured, if you recall, we go through a little process that helps us commit. I call it getting off the fence.
Yes.
Because there, even if you decide you're sure you want to do your best to make this relationship work, there's still a doubting part of our brain whether it's possible, right? There's doubts
Yes.
that come up or fears that come up.
Yes.
And so we always I always have people, make the commitment when they first come in that we're gonna spend all these months together committed to that. And then if we've done all the work and we decide later we don't want to stay committed to that, that's fine, right? But like in the time when we're doing the work, we're choosing the marriage.
Yes, it's absolutely. I could just see how if somebody wasn't committed in the beginning, Because there's time involved, time commitment, there's homework involved. Yeah, there's a monetary commitment, there's a lot of commitments involved with the program, and it absolutely will work if you're committed to making it work. It's
That's
the people
100%.
who wouldn't be committed that, I would say to me, that's the most important thing. Just make sure at the beginning of it you're committed and it'll work.
Commitment is the fuel that allows you to actually engage with the work enough that it will work.
Yes,
And that's
absolutely.
that, right? Because the program, the process works. It's just what you bring to it matters.
Yes.
And that what you bring to it is all about whether you're committed or not committed to doing it.
And that's an absolutely beautiful way of saying it. Yes. Yeah. Great description.
Well, that's really helpful also for listeners to hear, I'm sure. So thank you for sharing that. Is there anything else, any final thoughts, any final tips or tidbits you want to share?
You're the only program that works that I know of, so and I've tried a lot of them, so
Well, thank you so much. I know the way that this work, which listeners will hear from all you've shared, Kathy, it is different, this work, and it's different than most of the programs and counseling and therapy that's available in our world. And the difference is what actually makes it work. Like it's different, and a lot of things out there don't work so well, unfortunately. I mean, there's great advice and stuff, but like a step-by-step process that actually really works.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle change. You know how if you want to lose weight, you don't just go on a short-term diet. It's going to magically make you lose weight forever. It's a lifestyle commitment. And that's, I guess, to me, that's what your program is. It's a marriage behavioral style lifestyle commitment. And it's very different than, I think, changing one little tidbit here and there.
It's a foundational change that really does change how you are in your life and in your relationships. I think that's such a great comparison. Well, thank you so much, Kathy. It's so fun to
Thank
talk to you
you.
again.
Thank you very much.
And how wonderful, and I'm sure inspiring it is for women to hear, that even after being together for as long as you and your husband have been or were before you made these changes, you can make these changes. I remember that was something you said early on. You're like, is it harder if I've been with him longer? Like, yeah, it can be, right? Because those are ingrained habits. But you're such a beautiful example of, yeah, maybe it's a little harder if you've been together longer and you're entrenched in patterns. But like if you commit and you decide and you do the work, look what happens.
Exactly. Yes.
So thank you for being an inspiration. Thank you for doing this work. And I'm so glad how far it's taken you with your husband.
Thank you so much.
And to everyone out there listening and inspired by Kathy's story, I am here for you. I have spots in Treasured with your name on it and will be starting very soon. And in fact, you don't have to wait once you sign up. I've got some things that you get access to right away that will start making a difference right away. In fact, one of them was very much the beginning of that change that Kathy talked about. She implemented one of the things that you're going to get right off the bat, and it began this beautiful sea change and helped her husband get on board to collaborate with her to move into their future as a couple in a much better, happier, more loving dynamic. So if you're ready to join Treasured or you just want to learn more about it, I will put the link in the show notes, and you can always just head over to lifeisworthloving.com and you'll see the button there that says Work with Me Treasured. Click that. It will be the beginning of a journey you will always be grateful for having chosen. Be oh so well, my friends.